Have you ever felt like an imposter? Yeah? I hear some laughter and some, I see some nods. So yes, right? So back at this experience that I had, I was, I had really wanted this job. I had wanted this job so much that I had called the guy who could make the hiring decision every month. Just like, hey, Larry, it's Kristen again. Wondering if that job's ready for me yet. And it took about a year, but finally I found myself at the Teachers Academy for Mathematics and Science. I was changing careers. I was going to be part of this exciting Chicago school reform movement that was happening that I kept reading about in the papers. And I had landed. I was in the boardroom, my first meeting, 15 or 20 people around the table. All kinds of fun, creative ideas were being shared. And I thought to myself, I feel like an imposter. Like I just didn't belong, right? How would I contribute there? So it was a long meeting and I didn't say anything for a very long time. And then suddenly I just saw something and I knew I needed to say something because it wasn't being presenced. And so I got up the courage to speak. And you know how it is, like the quiet one in the group hasn't said anything, suddenly everybody looks, right? And I say, I think what I'm hearing is what we need is a brief virgin. Of course, I meant to say version. And suddenly, you know, the room erupts in laughter like this. My face probably turned four shades of red, and I couldn't really get out the idea that I wanted to share. But you know, there was actually a truth in there, and that was that I really needed to glimpse the purity of what had brought me there, which was my heart, right? It was a calling of my heart, a longing of my heart to be at that table. And I deserved to be at that table. And so there was something that needed to be known in a purer way that I think was being called forth in that moment in the midst of the laughter and the embarrassment and all the rest. But looking back, it was a process, as it is for all of us, right? We are in a process. We come into the world, maybe a little purer, a little bit clearer sense of who we are and what we're about, and then we land, right? And dense physicality and a body on earth, this big spirit crammed into this little container. And then it's like we got to learn, right? We got to learn to walk and to talk, and we get acclimated and we get, as the Toltecs would say, domesticated to behave certain ways, to make certain agreements, to, and some of those are for our well-being and the goodness of our lives, and some of them are quite soul-confining. Some of them really limit and put a blanket over the possibilities of our divine potential ever being reached. They keep us small. It's things that our family teaches us, our teachers teach us, our parents, our teachers, our mentors, our ministers, all those authority figures. And then it becomes our own mind's understanding that these are the agreements under which I am supposed to behave and move and have my being in life. And so today we're beginning a series that's going to start to strip away. Feels good, doesn't it? Even to think about it. Shed some of that stuff that keeps us confined and small and limited and allow us to step into the truth that we have come here to be. So when I look back at that moment in time and how I had campaigned to be there and all that stuff and how excited I was to be on this cutting edge experience of Chicago school reform, I had just come from my other first career, short-lived career, in public relations at Ogilvy and Mather public relations in Chicago. And I literally had an out-of-body experience there that told me I was for sure not in the right place anymore, you know? I was sitting there and I was in the uniform, which was, you know, a straight skirt and pantyhose. Never liked those. Heels, you know, the like blousey blouse. And it was just like, it's so not me. So here I am in the suit that doesn't fit, right? And I remember sitting there in my boss's office, and it was like a shell. that was there. I was listening, I was nodding, I was taking notes, you know, it was like some kind of automaton was there. And meanwhile, I literally felt like my spirit was like flying around the halls of the place, maybe looking for the exit, you know? Because at that point, it was time to shed that which did not suit me, you know? And how did I get there? I made an agreement. I made an agreement because I wanted to please my father, who wanted me to go into business. And so the closest compromise I could find was public relations, which felt a little more open and creative, but still business. And still, it was super confining for me and so not the right fit. And so this process of sitting in that board meeting at this place that was calling my heart, it was quite the opposite. It's not that I was an imposter. It was the opposite of that. The greater truth was being revealed of how my soul wanted to express itself. And so there was a shaking off of an old agreement and a coming into an agreement that I would make with my own soul and my own heart and my own fulfillment and expression in life. The beginning of more stuff opening. Anybody relate to this kind of journey? Yeah, we could all tell our stories, right? That would, and I hope we will find opportunities to hear more of each other's stories, because everybody has a rich experience like this of shaking off those old ideas that don't serve, so that the fullness and the truth of who you are can crack open and begin to shine through. And we're all in progress, right? In some kind of process, continuously, it seems. Till death and beyond, I imagine, because we are always an evolving soul. So there is Toltec wisdom, as I mentioned, that says this process is called domestication for human beings. This idea that we make these thousands and thousands of agreements that aren't really the true, that aren't really a reflection of the true nature of who we are. The Toltecs originated, what they're known for are the scientists and artists that gathered outside of Mexico City at the pyramids. It was a big community of folks, of expressions of all genders that came together. And it was thousands of years ago, and it was also cultivating the ancestral teachings of this indigenous Mexican wisdom. And they would meet at this place that the literal translation is where humans become God. Isn't that beautiful? And due to religious persecution then, these things that they were teaching and exploring and these ideals that they were trying to conserve and bring forth had to go underground. And so it all went into secret for a long while. In 1997, one of the folks who was part of this lineage, Don Miguel Ruiz, brought forth the Four Agreements. It is such a spiritual sensation and classic. I bet a lot of you in this room have the book, have seen the book, have heard of it before. It is a new playbook of agreements. And when we make these four agreements, we break the old ones. So it's not like we have to go searching and finding, like, what is that issue that's holding, you know? It's like, no, just make the new agreements. And when you make the new ones, the old ones get left behind. This thought is my prayer. This agreement is my prayer. And we hold that up and we step into that truth. And the old stuff just falls away because it is no longer true for us. Maybe never was. So the premise then is this work of spiritual awakening by making the new agreements and therefore then breaking some of these old agreements that have kept us small, that have confined us, that have limited us in whatever ways that they may have, you know, that they may do their work. And they have bred over time inauthenticity, a lack of integrity, anxiety, confusion, you know, this sense of, I was visiting with somebody after the first service who said, I feel like an imposter a lot. I mean, does anybody relate to that? It's like, there's just like, yeah, it's like this, all this stuff I'm supposed to do and how I'm supposed to show up, I don't even know who I am. We get so knee-jerk into pleasing the people around us that we don't really, we can easily lose a sense of of who we are and what's true for us. And so it's that looking, it's that peeling away, it's that process that happens as we make these agreements. And when we, you know, allow the agreements that have been taught to us to become a part of our own mind. So as a children, of course, we take them on, we agree to them. Okay, well, this is the way it works. Okay, I have to agree to these rules and in order to get fed and clothed and whatever else the agreement is, right? And then it becomes our own. It becomes our mind in charge of those agreements. So the only thing that perpetuates us living under those is our continued agreement with them, our mind keeping that kind of egoic control, right? So that's how they get let go. We fill our mind with a new agreement that's filled with light, that's filled with love, that's filled with truth, that's filled with power. And when we step into that, it's like, oh, this is completely different. This is a completely different life, a completely different game, a completely different expression of truth of who I am. Freer, more joyful. It's good stuff, right? That's where we want to be. That's where we want to be. So yesterday I got big family news. Jack has a girlfriend. Jack is my 28-year-old nephew. It's his first girlfriend. And I was visiting with my sister, Nicole, big sister to Jack. I'm sorry, my niece, big sister to Jack. And we were just talking about how exciting this is. And Jack, he has trouble with relationships and some of the, if there's any emotional upset, he's on the autism spectrum. And so is his new girlfriend, Megan. So Nicole asked, you know, what does Megan think about that? What does she say about that? And Jack says, I don't think Megan talks, which is great for Jack because he likes it pretty quiet. So anyway, we were just talking about how wonderful this is, that, you know, he's got this age-appropriate girl in his life and this peer connection. And then my niece says, yeah, I'm really happy for him. She said, but this is probably not going to end well. And I said, oh, okay, wait. Wait a minute. You know, here we are celebrating the joy of this information we just found out. This is really new. It's really fresh. It's really tender. It's really exciting. They're on the cusp of some new connection and opening up all kinds of doors of the heart, right? And we're going to doom it from the start? No. No, we are not going to speak that agreement into being. But why do we do that? We humans love to do that, don't we? We love to just put a little wet blanket over whatever excitement might come our way just because it might be disappointing. You know, we don't want to get our hopes up because we might get our hopes crashed. You know, so it's like that's part of the agreements that we make that we want to discard. And so Nicole and I made an agreement together to not do that, to not zoom ahead to some kind of doomed outcome, but to be in the joy of the now and to also hold the space that this could be an amazing outcome. So it's that kind of breaking and making that we are up to with the four agreements. It's a recognition, and especially with this first agreement, be impeccable with your word. So the first agreement, Don Miguel says, is the most important of the agreements, and it's the hardest to keep. It is so potent, right? This idea, what is impeccable? To be impeccable with your word, it comes from peccatus in Latin, which means without sin. And sin, we understand in New Thought, is missing the mark. It's making a mistake. It comes from archery, right? So to be without mistakes in our speech, right? To be more skillful in our speech, to be right on target in our speech. And why is that so important? Because the power of the spoken word is what aligns us with spirit. It's a creative process, right? When we speak, we are declaring, we are affirming. Every thought is a prayer. When we think it and then speak it, we're advancing the co-creative process. It goes from thought to word to action, right? To manifestation. It comes out into the world as a physical reality when we speak it. So being impeccable with our word is, as Don Miguel explains, sin is not going against ourselves. I love that interpretation of sin. Not going against ourselves. So instead, we are speaking truths that are for us, for that truest aspect of us, our truest soul, our essence, our spiritual essence. And when we do, then we are aligned with that truth. The word is so sacred that in John, it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The word itself is God. That's pretty powerful, right? When you think about that, so we are constantly using words, aren't we? We are constantly, I mean, if you're a big talker, you're really using words all the time. So your work is cut out for you. Us introverts get a little leg up on this one. But so it's that recognition of how sacred this is, of what we're working with here, and how potent it is, because it is the ability to create, right? The beginning of Genesis, what happens? How does creation happen? It happens by being spoken into being, right? Let there be light, and there was light. Let there be light, and there was light. So we can move through our lives as someone who says, let there be light, and there will be light, or who says, oh no, there's darkness, and there will be darkness. Because our word is that potently creative. So to align ourselves with the truth of creating, then form, and what happens when God creates, right, out of that story in Genesis, every time something new is created is declared good. And so there is a sense of recognition of I have created something out of the power of my word, and if it is the kind of prayer, the kind of truth we want to keep, we declare it good. And it takes root in that goodness, because it's something then that will nurture and that will allow to flourish in our lives. The word is God. Wow, just imagine if we slow down enough to realize every time we speak a word, it is God. Ah, it's powerful, isn't it? Makes us want to be more impeccable with our word, I hope. So it's affirmative prayer in action that we're really talking about when we're talking about being impeccable with our word, because affirmative prayer is bringing forth the truth and making it firm, right? It's making it manifest in the world. It's creating it in a physical understanding, bringing from the invisible into the visible, out of the thought realm into the actual experience. And in that passage of John, so in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and a few verses later, and the Word was made flesh. So we are the embodiment of that Word. We were created out of the Word, and we, in turn, create from this Word. An early New Thought teacher, Florence Scovel Shinn, said, "Your Word is your wand." So we are constantly making magic with our word and using it as a wand. So this particular agreement, I am impeccable with my word, is the affirmative way to say it, the agreement itself, be impeccable with your word. And this is a few of the points that Don Miguel makes about it. I speak with integrity and say only what I mean. I avoid using words to speak against myself and to gossip about others. And I use the power of my words in the direction of truth and love. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? That's what we're about. So as we talk about the word is my wand, it reminds me of something in the book that I want to bring up that's a little caveat. Don Miguel uses this metaphor that ever since the first time I read the book, I just always kind of, you know. So I'm going to offer this to you as a revision if it works for you too. He uses black and white magic, as black magic as a negative thing and white magic as a positive thing. So we know words have power, right? And in this world, we use those terms for groups of people. And there's been a lot of hurt around those, the ways that we have treated, right? Those groups. So the black magic, the way that we have treated black people and the way that we have, you know, of course, obviously made white people the way to go, the cultural mainstream, the model. And so, yeah, thank you. I'm struggling through this. I'm not sure why I'm not being impeccable with my, I'm trying to be really impeccable with my word. That's what's happening here. So instead of saying black magic and white magic, just say negative and positive magic, you know, just that's the point of it. And let's take out anything that could cause more hurt. Word has impact, right? So this is one of the ways that we are impeccable with our word. We can come across a teaching, go, oh, I love this, and this teacher must know. And so we just take it wholesale. And we repeat it. And I went online thinking, oh, I'm going to find people that are having issue with this. And I didn't. Like, up until very recent posts that were reposting this same framework. So I just, I love this work. And I want it to perpetuate in a way that remains impeccable. And so I just want to offer that to you. If this is a piece of the work that you really like and you want to repeat it, consider making that revision. You're welcome. And so many, yeah, right? This is our work. It's simple. It's simple and it's powerful to say, okay, I'm going to talk about the power of the word, then I'm going to really talk about the power of the word and stop myself and stop others. That's sometimes difficult, right? But we can do it as we keep doing it, we'll get more skillful, you know? So there our first couple passes at this might be really a could even be a train wreck, who knows? It could be messy. But it doesn't matter because the heart is there. The intent is there to clean things up. The intent is to be clean and clear and current with our communications, to hold the word as God, sacred, inclusive, loving, all, right? That's what we're working with here. I don't know why this image keeps coming to mind, but I often sit like this in meditation, and I'm sure some of you take a similar posture. And it just feels like, you know, what do we do this? Because we're receiving, right? This is sort of a receiving, resting position. And it's like the word is like taking that very sacred thing, right, that we've received and putting it out into the world. It moves through our hearts, up through our throat chakra, the center of power, and out through our mouths as a creation of God. It's precious. And so it is in that way that we hold it. So there are a lot of different ways we can, you know, look at being impeccable with our word and consider different ways that we might improve. And I'm just going to point out a couple of examples. So let's just let's go back to the idea of work. And so maybe we say something like, you know, I don't like my job, but I can't leave it because I have to eat and I'm not supposed to like it because my parents said that's why they call it work. Anybody ever hear that one? You know, it's not supposed to be fun. It's not supposed to be fulfilling. That's why they call it work. So that's an agreement, right? We made an agreement. Oh, work is not fun. That's why they call it work. So I have to blood, sweat, and tears. You know, that's going to have to be my experience of what work is. It's laborious, right? So it's breaking these kinds of agreements. And this idea that particular position that we're holding is the source of our income is also a false agreement, right? There's one source for our income. There's one source for our prosperity and our good. That is the one. There are many different channels. So if you don't like your work, find another channel. Tune in to another channel. One that feels fun and fulfilling and creative and prosperous and connecting, all the things that you might want through your work. so you can really bring forth the kinds of things that you want in the world. So if we took this example and we say, okay, so this person is in the process of recognizing that there's an old agreement, and they begin to speak then a relative truth, using the word in a relative way, begin to get honest about their feelings and their observations of what's going on. I feel frustrated. I feel frustrated because I want to do meaningful work, but I don't think I can pay my bills if I do meaningful work, you know? So there's here's another agreement, right? If I do work in sort of the not-for-profit sector or somewhere where there's, you know, I'm doing good in the world, I won't make enough money. So I'm not going to go that route, you know? So there's all these conversations that we have in our heads that are based on these old agreements. But where's the truth? Where's the heart? Where's the call? That's what will lead us through to break off the old agreement. So this person, then once they get honest, then they can speak the absolute truth, right? We go from relative truth, facts and feelings of what's really happening, to absolute truth. That's when we bring forth the invisible into the visible. That's when we bring forth the truth of the divine into our embodied experience. And it's when we get to that place that we know I was meant to be fulfilled and prospered. I was meant to have fun with what I do and how I serve on this earth. I was meant to be taken care of. And so I can let go of those fears and those old ideas that are dragging me down and keeping me small and confining my soul. And instead, I can move toward that which is rich, enriching, real, and true for who I am. And that when we begin to speak that, then we speak that absolute truth. I am engaged in sacred work. I am prosperous. I am fulfilled. And all the things that you might wish to experience in that. So it is a process, right? Of breaking the old, but breaking the old as we make the new, as we make the new. So one of the things that Don Miguel said, that slide I put up a few minutes ago, is don't gossip, right? Tell a group of human beings, don't gossip. Now, some of us gossip more than others, or, you know, whatever it may be, but there are moments when we enjoy sharing a little tidbit of information in some way, in some form, as human social beings, right? So it's important to catch yourself before you gossip, as you're about to gossip, as the thought is forming, and ask, why am I going to share this? What am I hoping to gain by sharing this little tidbit of information I'm about to share? And a lot of times it's that we want to be perceived as being in the know, right? We're the one who's got the latest scoop, so we want to be the one who's the first to deliver the news. Because, you know, then we maybe we'll make a connection with the person we're sharing it with, and we will, you know, we've got this valuable information, we will then be seen as more valuable, right? So there's just all this sort of hidden stuff in that. But if we can slow that down a little bit and recognize what's really happening, Brené Brown is great at this work as a social scientist. She says that often what we're doing is creating common enemy intimacy. Yeah, I know. It's a big one, isn't it? So this idea that I'm going to befriend you by telling you this juicy tidbit about so-and-so, that often gossip tends to have this sort of disparaging idea, or maybe false, possibly false idea with it. Not always, but it could have that kind of energy. And so we're going to bond in this idea of common enemy intimacy. That is not going to get us very far in that true need that we just identified, right? If we want to be connected, if we want to be acknowledged, if we want a friend, then we need to be a trustworthy friend, right? Who wants a friend that you can't trust, right? So it's that kind of thing where we break it down and we realize, in that moment, I could choose something else. I could choose to be impeccable with my word. I could speak something true. I could speak something kind. I could speak something uplifting. I could speak something joyful. I could speak something co-creative that would uplift this experience, this relationship, this world, this life, this moment, my truth. That's what we're after when we say, I am impeccable with my word. And we can do it by just becoming more aware of what's happening inside of us, pre-verbally, right? In the thought that precedes the words. Another form of this is triangulation, where we have an issue with one person and we go to somebody else to talk about it. And so that creates this triangle, right? And so ideally we go to the person with whom we have the issue. If that's not a safe container, then we create a safe container in which to process that. But that is just it's a simple thing, a simple idea, and something that will help us stay the course in being impeccable with our words. Being impeccable with our words sometimes involves not saying anything at all. We've already said it, and we show our integrity by following through with what it is that we have claimed as ours to do. And if we can't follow through, we make a new agreement, right? That's all staying within that alignment of truth, that integrity. Sometimes breaking silence is what we do to be impeccable with our words, right? Old secrets and things that are hanging around that need to be brought out into the light, need to be spoken in truth. Sometimes that is the route. So we all have different places where we're playing with this agreement right now. And so whatever it is that lands in your heart is, this is true for me today. Oh, that's something I need to do. I forgot that, you know, I've been holding that, or this is just, you know, coming up into my awareness. Whatever it is, if anything has come up like that for you today, I want to encourage you to walk this agreement, to embody this agreement, to speak the truth in whatever forms or ways it needs to be spoken. So the word is God. How will we use God? That is the question. Has anybody ever been told that they used the Lord's name in vain? Yeah. So think about that. What is the Lord's name, right? Way back when Moses was at the burning bush, God's name was given to him, I am. So how are we using the I am? What do you fill in your sentence with after you say, I am? You might be using God's name in vain. Just something to consider. Instead, maybe whatever ways that you might be disparaging of yourself, you can come into that truth of the I am, the divine I am, the truth of who you are, and speak some simple words of truth. I am light, I am love, I am peace, I am joy. I am that I am. I am from the beginning. I am made of this love. You know, whatever it is that, you know, once you begin, it's sort of this cascading experience, right, of expansive prosperity, of truth that wants to be spoken through you. And as you speak that, you can notice how it changes your whole disposition, how it changes your experience, how it changes how you feel, how it changes in your heart. And do that. Go that route. Take that journey. Make that thought your prayer, your word that you are standing on. In counsel, it also comes out of various indigenous traditions. I learned it through the School of Lost Borders in California. There's a few different guidelines. Counsel is just coming together to speak from our hearts, right? Passing a talking stick and speaking from our hearts. It has five basic guidelines that I think are really helpful for this particular agreement. And they are listen from the heart, speak from the heart, be lean of expression, be spontaneous, and maintain confidentiality. So the be lean of expression and be spontaneous, you know, when we align with spirit, when we get grounded in spirit, that just happens naturally, that we speak on point, you know, that we are lean of expression in terms of we kind of stay on point. And we also are spontaneous. There's no like pre-planning for that, right? We're not thinking about what we're going to say in response to what the person's saying while they're speaking, because we're listening from our hearts. So we're in that field together, that spiritual field that communicates in that way, that listens deeply from within ourselves and to whatever is being spoken in the circle, so that we know in a spontaneous way when it is our turn to pick up that stick and to speak from that clarity, from that place of spontaneity, because spirit just gave us the nudge. You have something to say. Oh, I do? I didn't know. And we open our mouths and there we do. There goes the word. There goes that precious word. out into the world. Yeah? Released. So as we feel our hearts, as we feel what is moving in our hearts today, as we move into spirit, as we ground ourselves in spirit, all of these practices will help us allow that to happen, to allow, as Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. This journey is not about perfection. Impeccable, the word impeccable can give us that impression, but it's not about perfection. It is about practice. And as Susan told me earlier, practice makes permanent. Don't you love that? It's another way of saying affirming, right? It's another way that we make it firm, is through our practice. So the practice can undo decades of repression. This can peel off all kinds of weight that has been bogging us down, right? And free us to be more of the truth of who we are. What more beautiful road could we be on than that? That's the call of this agreement, the opportunity to step in, to keep this new agreement, to renew the agreement if you've worked with it before, to say, I am from here on out impeccable with my word. And watch the miracles happen, because they will. Yeah. I am impeccable with my word. Let's say it together. Let's keep the agreement. Let's use the power of the spoken word to create the lives we want to be living. I want to offer this to speak together. Together? I am impeccable with my word. And so it is.